Welcome to Grim Pickens. My name is Pete Phillips, and part of me is doing this podcast so that I can get better at reading aloud, but we also get to learn about some fairy tales along the way. This episode, I'm reading from the Philip Pullman translations, which was published in ripe old 2012, and we also have quite a long one, and that's why I'm willing to read the longest story yet, because it's a modern translation. The Boy Who Left Home to Find Out About the Shivers. Once there was a father who had two sons. The elder one was quick-witted and bright and able to deal with anything. But the younger one was so dim that he understood nothing and learned nothing. Everybody who knew them said, "His father is going to have trouble with that boy." If there was any job that needed doing, it was always the elder son who had to do it. But there was one thing the elder son wouldn't do. If his father asked him to get something as night was falling, or when it was completely dark, and if his way took him through the graveyard, or some creepy place like that, he'd say, "Oh no, father, I won't go there. It gives me the shivers." The younger son used to sit in the corner and listen, but he didn't understand what the shivers were. "Everyone says it gives me the shivers, it gives me the shivers. I don't know what they're talking about. I haven't got any shivers." And I was listening just as hard as they were. One day his father said to him, "Listen, boy, you're getting big and strong. You're growing up, and it's time you began to earn a living. Look at your brother. He learned to work hard, but you've learned nothing as far as I can see." "Oh, yes, father," he said. "I'd like to earn a living. I really would. I'd love to learn how to get the shivers. That's something I don't understand at all." His elder brother heard him and laughed. "What a blockhead," he thought. "He'll never come to any good. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear." That's quite the expression. The father could only sigh. "Well, it won't do you any harm to find out about the shivers," he said, "but you won't get a living by shivering." A few days later, the sexton dropped in for a chat. The father couldn't help it. He poured out all his worries about the younger son, what a fool he was, how he couldn't learn anything, how he understood nothing at all. "Take this, for example," he said. "When I asked him what he wanted to do for a living, he said he wanted to learn how to get the shivers." "That's a good idea," said the father, thinking. "Maybe it'll come better for someone else. It'll do the boy good anyway." So the sexton took the boy back to his house and gave him the job of ringing the church bell. Once he'd got the hang of that, the sexton woke him up at midnight one night and told him to go up to the church tower and ring the bell. "Now you'll learn what the shivers are," he thought. And while the boy was pulling on his clothes, the sexton crept up the tower ahead of him. The boy reached the belfry, and when he turned around to get hold of the rope, he saw a white figure standing there at the top of the stairs, just opposite the sound hole. "Who's that?" he said. The figure didn't speak or move. "You'd better answer me," shouted the boy. "You've got no business here in the middle of the night." The sexton kept quite still. He was sure the boy would think he was a ghost. The boy shouted again, "I warn you, answer me or I'll throw you downstairs. Who are you and what do you want?" The sexton thought, "He wouldn't throw me down the stairs, I'm sure." And he stood there, like a stone, not making a sound. So the boy shouted once more, and still getting no answer, he yelled, "Well, you've asked for it, and here it comes." And he rushed at the white figure and shoved him down the stairs. The ghost tumbled all the way down and lay moaning in a heap in the corner. Seeing that there was going to be no more trouble from him, the boy rang the bell, as he'd been told, and went back to bed. The sexton's wife had been waiting all this time, and when her husband didn't come back, she started to worry. She went to wake the boy. "Where's my husband?" she said. "Did you see him? He climbed the tower before you did." "Dunno," said the boy. "I never saw him. There was someone in a white sheet standing near the sound hole, and he wouldn't answer and wouldn't go away. So I thought he was up to no good, and I shoved him down the stairs. Go take a look. He's probably still there. I'd be sorry if it was him. He fell with ever such a thump." The wife ran out and found her husband groaning with the pain of a broken leg. She managed to carry him home, and then she ran screaming and yelling to the boy's father. "Your fool of a son," she cried. "Do you know what he's done? He threw my husband right from the top of the belfry. The poor man's broken his leg, and I shouldn't wonder if half the rest of his bones are in pieces as well. Take the good-for-nothing wretch out of our house before he brings it down around our ears. I never want to see him again." The father was horrified. He ran to the sexton's house and shook the boy out of bed. "What the hell are you playing at?" he said. "Desecrating the sexton. The devil must have put you up to it." "But father," said the boy, "I'm innocent. I had no idea it was the sexton. He was standing there, by the sound hole, with a white sheet over him. I couldn't tell who it was, and I warned him 3 times. "God in heaven," said the father, "you bring me nothing but trouble. Get out of my sight. Go on. I don't even want to look at you anymore."
"I'd be glad to," said the boy. "Just let me wait till daylight, and I'll go out into the world and leave you alone. I can look for the shivers, and then I'll have a skill, and I'll be able to earn a living at last."
"Shivers, indeed. Do what you like. It's all the same to me. Here you are. Here's 50 tailors for you. Take them and go out into the wide world, but don't you dare tell anyone where you came from or who your father is. Or who your father is. I'd be ashamed."
"All right, father. Yes, I'll do as you wish. If that's all you want me to do, I'll easily remember it."
And as soon as morning came, the boy put his 50 tailors in his pocket and set off, saying to himself all the time, "I wish I could get the shivers. If only I could get the shivers." A man, who happened to be going along the same way, heard what the boy was saying. They hadn't gone much further when a gallows came in sight.
"Look," said the man, "here's a tip for you. See the gallows? 7 men got married to the rope maker's daughter there, and now they're learning to fly. If you sit down there beneath it and wait till night comes, then you'll get the shivers all right."
"Really?" said the boy. It's as easy as that?
"Well, I'll soon learn in that case. If I get the shivers before morning, you can have my 50 tailors. Just come back here and see me then."
He went to the gallows, sat himself down beneath it, and waited for night to fall. He felt cold, so he made himself a fire. But by midnight a wind arose, and he couldn't get warm in spite of the blazing logs. Clearly he can do things. He made a fire. The wind pushed the hanged men to and fro so that the bodies jostled against one another, and the boy thought, "If I'm freezing down here, those poor fellows up there must be even colder." He put up a ladder, climbed up and untied them one after another, and brought all 7 of them down. Then he put another couple of logs on the fire and arranged the dead men around it to warm themselves. But all they did was sit there quite still, even when their clothes caught on fire.
"Hey, watch out," he said. "I'll hang you up again if you're not careful."
Of course, the dead men took no notice. They just continued to stare at nothing while their clothes blazed up. This made the boy angry.
"I told you to be careful," he said. "I don't want to catch fire just because you're too lazy to pull your legs out of the flames."
And he hung them all up again in a row and lay down by his fire and fell asleep. Next morning, he woke up to find the man demanding his 50 tailors. "You got the shivers last night all right, didn't you?" he said.
"No," said the boy. "How could I learn anything from these stupid fellows? They didn't say a word, and they just sat there quite still while their trousers caught fire."
The man saw there was no chance of getting his 50 tailors, so he threw his hands in the air and left. "What a fool," he said to himself. "I've never met such a dimwit in all my life." The boy went on his way, still muttering to himself, "If only I could get the shivers. If only I could get the shivers." A carter was walking along behind him, and hearing what he said, caught up to him and asked, "Who are you?"
"Dunno," said the boy.
"Where do you come from, eh?"
"Dunno."
"Who's your father, then?"
"I'm not allowed to say."
"And what are you muttering to yourself all the time?"
"Oh," said the boy, "I want to get the shivers, but no one can teach me how."
"You're a poor simpleton," said the carter. "Step along with me, and I'll see you find a place to stay. Step along with me, and I'll see that you find a place to stay, at least." The boy went along with him, and that evening they came to an inn where they decided to stay the night. As they went into the parlor, the boy said again, "If only I could get the shivers. Oh, if only I could get the shivers." The innkeeper heard what he said and laughed, saying, "If that's what you want, you're in luck. There's a chance for you very close to here."
"Shh," said the innkeeper's wife. "Don't talk about that. Think of all the poor fellows who lost their lives. It would be such a pity if this young man's lovely eyes never saw the light of day again."
"But I want to get the shivers," said the boy. "That's why I left home."
"What do you mean? What's the chance you talked about? Where is it?"
He wouldn't stop pestering till the innkeeper told him that there was a haunted castle nearby, where anyone who wanted to learn about the shivers could do so easily, if only he managed to keep watch there for 3 nights. The king promised that whoever does this can have his daughter in marriage, he said,
and I swear the princess is the most beautiful girl who ever lived. What's more, there are great heaps of treasure in the castle, guarded by evil spirits. You can have the treasure, too, if you stay there for 3 nights. There's enough to make anyone rich. Plenty of young men have gone up there and tried, but no one's come out again. Next morning, the boy went to the king and said, "If you let me, I'll stay 3 nights in the haunted castle." The king eyed him and liked the look of him, so he said, "I'll let you take 3 things into the castle with you, but they must be things that aren't alive." The boy said, "In that case, I'd like things to make a fire with, a lathe and a woodcarver's bench with a knife." The king ordered that all these things should be taken to the castle during daylight. When night fell, the boy went inside and lit a bright fire in one of the rooms, dragged the woodcarver's bench and knife beside it, and sat down at the lathe. "Oh, if only I could get the shivers," he said, "but this place doesn't look very promising either." When it was nearly midnight, he stirred the fire up. He was just blowing on it when he heard voices from a corner of the room. "Meow, meow, we are so cold," they said. "What are you talking about?" he said over his shoulder. "If you're cold, come sit down by the fire." Next moment, 2 large black cats leaped out of the shadows and sat on either side of him, staring at him with their coal red eyes. "Fancy a game of cards?" they said. "Why not?" he replied. "But let me see your claws first." So they stretched out their paws. "Good God," he said, "what long nails you've got. I have to trim them before we start to play." And he seized the cats by their necks, lifted them up onto the woodcarver's bench, and tightened the vise around their paws. "I don't like the look of these at all," he said. "They've put me right off to the idea of playing cards." And he struck them both dead and threw them in the moat. "What?" He had just sat down again, when from every corner of the room came black cats and black dogs, each of them wearing a red-hot collar with red-hot chain. They piled in from every direction until he couldn't move. They howled and barked and shrieked horribly. They jumped into the fire and scattered the burning logs in all directions. He watched curiously for a moment or two, but finally he lost patience. Seizing his knife, he cried, "Out with you all, you scoundrels!" And he hacked away merrily. Some of them he killed, and the others ran away. When all the live ones had fled, he threw the dead ones into the moat and came back inside to warm up. But his eyes wouldn't stay open, so he went to the large bed in the corner of the room. "This looks comfortable," he thought. "Just the job." But as soon as he lay down, the bed began to move. It trundled to the door, which flew open, and then rolled all the way through the castle, gathering speed as it went. "Not bad," he said, "but let's go faster still." And on it rolled, as though drawn by 6 fine horses, along the corridors, up the stairs and down again, until suddenly, hop, it turned upside down, trapping him underneath. It lay on him like a mountain. But he threw off the blankets and the pillows and clambered out. "I've finished with the bed now," he called out. "If anyone else wants it, they can have it." And he lay down by his fire and went peacefully to sleep. When the king came in the next morning, he found him laying there and said, "Oh, that's a pity. The ghosts must have killed him. Such a handsome young man, too." The boy heard him and got up at once. "They haven't killed me yet, your majesty." "Oh, you're alive," said the king. "Well, I'm glad to see you. How did you get on?" "Very well, thanks," said the boy. "One night down, 2 more to go." He went back to the inn. The innkeeper was astonished. "You're alive! I never thought I'd see you again. Did you get the shivers?" "No, not once. I hope someone can give me the shivers tonight." The second night he went up to the castle, lit his fire, and sat down again. "Oh," he said, "I wish someone could give me the shivers." As midnight approached, he heard a commotion up in the chimney. Banging and shouting, scuffling, screaming, and finally, with a loud yell, the lower half of a man fell down into the fireplace. "What are you doing?" said the boy. "Where's your other half?" But the half-man, not having eyes or ears, couldn't hear him or see where anything was, and it ran around the room knocking into things and falling over and scrambling up again. Then there was more noise from the chimney, and in a cloud of soot, the missing top half fell down and scrambled away from the fire. "Not hot enough for you?" said the boy. "Legs, legs, this way, over here," called the top half, but the bottom legs couldn't hear and kept blundering around till the boy grabbed them around the knees and hung on. The top half leaped on board, and they became one man again at once. He was hideous. He sat down on the boy's bench next to the fire and wouldn't give way, so the boy knocked him off and sat down himself. Then there was yet more commotion, and half a dozen dead men fell down the chimney one after the other. They had 9 thigh bones and 2 skulls with them and set them up to play skittles. "Can I play too?" asked the boy. "Well, have you got any money?" "Plenty," he said, "but your bowling balls aren't round enough." He took the skulls, put them on the lathe, and turned them until they were round. "That's better," he said. "Now they'll roll properly. This will be fun." He played with the dead men for a while and lost some of his money. Finally, at midnight, the clock struck 12 and they all vanished. Every one of them. The boy lay down peacefully and went to sleep. Next morning, the king came in again to see how he'd gotten on. "How did you do this time?" he said. "I had a game of skittles," said the boy. "I lost some money, too." "And did you get the shivers?" "Not a bit of it," he replied. "I enjoyed the game, but that was it. If only I could get the shivers." On the third night, he sat down again on his bench by the fire and sighed. "Only one night left," he said. "I hope this is the night I'll get the shivers." When it was nearly midnight, he heard a heavy tread coming slowly towards the room, and in came 6 huge men carrying a coffin. "Oh, so someone's dead?" the boy said. "I expect it's my cousin. He died a few days ago." He whistled and beckoned, saying, "Come on out, cousin. Come and say hello." The 6 men put the coffin down and walked out. The boy opened the lid and looked at the dead man lying inside. He felt the dead face, but of course, it was cold as ice. "Never mind," he said, "I'll warm you up." He warmed his hands by the fire and held them to the dead man's cheeks, but the face stayed cold. Then he took the body out, laid it by the fire with the dead man's head on his lap, and rubbed his arms to get the circulation going. That didn't work either. "I know," he said. "When 2 people lie together, they warm each other up. So I'll take you to bed with me. That's what I'll do." So he put the dead man in the bed and got in beside him, pulling the covers over them both. After a few minutes, the dead man began to move. "That's it," said the boy, to encourage him. "Come on, cousin, you're nearly alive again." But the dead man suddenly sat up and roared out, "Who are you, eh? I'll strangle you, you dirty devil." Then he reached for the boy's neck, but the boy was too quick for him, and after a struggle, he soon had him back in his coffin. "Fine thanks I get from you," he said, banging in the nails to keep the lid down. As soon as the lid was fixed, the 6 men appeared again. They picked up the coffin and carried it out slowly. "Oh, it's no good," said the boy in despair. "I'm never going to learn about the shivers here." As he said that, an old man stepped out of the darkness in the corner of the room. He was even bigger than the men who carried the coffin, and he had a long white beard and eyes that glowed with evil. "You miserable worm," he said, "you shall soon learn what the shivers are. Tonight, you're going to die." "You think so? You'll have to catch me first," said the boy. "You won't get away from me, no matter how fast you run." "I'm as strong as you are, probably stronger," said the boy. "We'll see about that," said the old man. "If you turn out to be stronger than me, then I'll let you go, but you won't. Now come along this way." The old man led the boy through the castle, along dark corridors and down dark stairways, till they came to a smithy deep in the bowels of the earth. "Now let's see who's stronger," he said. He took an axe, and with one blow drove an anvil into the ground. "That's pretty impressive." "I could do better than that," said the boy. He took an axe and struck the other anvil in such a way that it split wide open for a moment. And in that moment, the boy seized the old man's beard, wedged it in the anvil, and the anvil closed up. And there was the old man, caught. "What?" "I've got you," said the boy. "Now you'll see who's going to die." And he took an iron bar and beat the old man mercilessly, raining blows on him till he whimpered and moaned and cried, "All right, stop! I give in!" And he promised to give the boy great riches if only he let him go. The boy twisted the axe in the crack and released his beard, and the old man led him to another cellar deep under the castle and showed him 3 chests full of gold. One of these is for the poor, he explained. One is for the king, and the third is yours. At that moment, midnight struck, and the old man disappeared, leaving the boy in the dark. Well, so much for that, he said. I can find my own way back. Groping along the walls, he made his way back to the bedroom and fell asleep by the fire. In the morning, the king came in. You must have learned how to shudder by now, he said. No, said the boy. I wonder what they can be, these shivers. I lay down with my dead cousin, and then an old man with a long beard come and show me some treasure, but no one showed me how to shiver. They brought the gold up and shared it out, and then the boy and the princess were married. In due course, he inherited the kingdom. But no matter how much he loved his wife or how happy he was, the young king kept on saying, "If only I could get the shivers! If only I could get the shivers!" In the end, it got on the young queen's nerves. She told her chambermaid, who said, "Leave it to me, your majesty. I'll give him the shivers all right." The maid went down to the brook and caught a bucket full of minnows. That night, when the young king was sleeping, the maid told the queen to pull the covers off and pour the bucket over him. So that's what she did. The young king felt first the cold water, and then the little fish wriggling and flipping about all over him. "Oh, oh, oh," he cried. "Oh, what's making me shiver? Oh, ow, yes, I'm shivering. I've got the shivers at last. Bless you, dear wife. You did what no one else could do. I've got the shivers." The more I think about this story, the more I kind of feel bad for the boy. He could do things after all. I can't build a fire, I can't work a lathe, but he could. Not to mention, some people find fearlessness itself a strength. Sure, he wasn't really as smart as we hoped he would be either. He set corpses on fire and took corpses to bed, but I think he still could have served a fine purpose in the world given the proper guidance. It's also strange that nobody bothers to pick on his brother, you know, for being afraid of the dark, which isn't necessary. But if you're going to make fun of one guy for being stupid, you may as well make fun of the other guy for being afraid of the dark. However, the boy does seem to have a propensity toward animal cruelty, or maybe just cruelty in general. He did kill some cats and drop them in a moat, not to mention beating an old man who was stuck to an anvil, and both of these seem like malicious acts. It makes me wonder about the perspective that we don't get in the story, one from the kingdom at the end. Their leader now only survives on the most obvious answers or resolutions to conflicts, and will revert to violence at the drop of a hat. That can't be too good for diplomatic relations. And as I reach the fourth story here, from the Brothers Grimm, I think I'll remain uncomfortable with women or girls' lack of autonomy in these stories. Kings are giving away their daughters just for spending 3 nights in a haunted castle? That's very silly to me. Because, as we saw, it wasn't courage that led the boy through his trials, but a complete lack of awareness of danger. This story lacks one of those chilling social judgment lines, but maybe it doesn't need one if the overall message of the story is that a fool can stumble into power if driven only by ignorance and unchecked aggression. Grim Pickens is hosted and produced by me, Pete Phillips. We have some musical flourishes by Gregor Quendel via Pixabay, and for now, a theme song made by AI. Grim Pickens is part of the Y'all Heard podcast family. You can rate and subscribe in your podcast player of choice to get more bite-sized stories by the Brothers Grimm.